Hello?
Mike from Hong Kong is with us.
Sure.
I'm only here because they already recorded an introduction saying Mike.
Well, we've had an introduction for about 2 years already. But it doesn't say which Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I know that's the only reason suddenly there's an interest to get me on the air. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's good timing than anything else.
You awake, sir?
Barely.
I'll make sure to. Does anyone have an online cattle prod that we can sort of get him to wake up?
No, Mr. Sutherland, just a nice hot cup of coffee, pour it on your groin, you'll be awake.
It wouldn't make much for commentary.
Wouldn't make much of a difference either.
From the looks of it, I'm actually struggling to speak English this morning.
Oh, you do? Fine, sir.
Where are we?
Is this Hawaii or Scotland?
Oh, it's never Hawaii in Scotland.
That was mighty weird, or maybe not so weird, last time that we were so far out of sync so early in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's an explanation to that. Maybe things are running at different speeds, despite it being a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Done in a certain speed, I don't know.
I reckon...
Curvature of the Earth.
Mm-hmm. That and Mike had downloaded his copy of the movie.
Yeah, he was watching basically with VCD, so... everything all right otherwise over there in Asia, Mike?
So far, so good. I said after the longest cold spell Hong Kong's ever had of 3 months, Hang on, let me just turn off my phone.
Be professional, goddammit!
I am! Trust me, on many Hong Kong Legends commentary, we would have phone calls and other things happening.
Is that the beauty of editing?
Would edit out all the gaps very nicely. Go back and start properly, or how do you want to do it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we let this run for a few minutes, and if it's all right. But basically, guys, just say now when the opening credits starts.
Okay.
Wait, we're playing this now? I'm still in the pagoda.
back. Start again.
You've got to tell Scotland these things.
Okay, well, back to the pagoda and he's playing.
It's going to be fine because we're all playing from the same DVD, I guess, the Crash Cinema one.
You and I did last time as well, and we were still out of sync. So pause at the pagoda, gentlemen.
Okay.
So, how was your Saturday, Stuart? Did you stay up even longer after you and I chatted?
A little. 1 second.
Stayed up 1 second longer, or?
Yeah, exactly 1 second longer after he and I hung up. But I got to sleep in because I normally get up way earlier than this, so it's all good. So is it Impact or is it movie production coming up tomorrow for you, Mike?
Tomorrow is go to the office and hassle people to pay me for money they owe me for commercials. Chasing up the Japanese producers for the commercial we just did with Samo. That was interesting. 80s era Samo. He had the bowl haircut and everything. Because they paid him more money. So he agreed to have the haircut.
Ah. And not a bald cap, but actually a bald haircut?
No, he actually cut his hair just like Winners and Sinners. Yeah.
Huh?
Back to the... Which Japan seems to think is the only way Samo can be recognized. Because every time I've done anything for Japanese TV with Samo, they try to have him wearing a funny haircut. Yeah. They don't... They don't really seem to have comprehended that time has moved on somewhat. They gave us reference material of people from 1985 and were confused when we told them those people are now 60. It was very strange.
Well, they sound like Hong Kong cinema fans then. Stuck in the 80s.
They were kind of. I mean, we ended up with Samo fighting Lo Wei Gong and Samo's other brother, Hong. So it was interesting, but it was just when we were doing the casting, it was a nightmare because... They would suggest people without realizing okay, that guy was 45 in 1985. Yeah. He's now 70 years old. He can't do stunts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all good fun.
Mm. Are you with us, Stuart?
So, Stuart, opening titles are coming.
You and I seem to be in sync anyway, Mike. Zooming in on Bruce Lee, and that's the red background right there.
There you go. Okay, 3:10 is when it says. So do we know if Stuart is still here or has he run away?
Apparently he did run away, so that's a shame. We'll have to find a new sync point. I bet this is like 10 more times more professional than Hong Kong Legends, despite.
But it'll not be as fun. Plus we have red screen. Okay, let's just try and get in sync with that dude getting hit.
Because last time, even 5 minutes in, even Stu and I were gravely out of sync. Mm-hmm. I think we started a mismatch couples commentary about 5 times.
Mismatch Couples is such a classic movie. It's that True Legend is basically Mismatched Couples, the next generation at times. There's plenty of breakdowns kung fu.
Great. Yeah. No punk hair, punk rock haircuts though, from Mandy Chan.
I don't know, John Hyde from WWE's in there, and he has a kind of punk haircut, yeah.
Which you should know, Stuart.
Aye, that was faintly during the period where I didn't even bother watching it, but aye, I was familiar with the guy.
He's a great guy. As I said, the only difference is he's not really a Nazi, but everything else is pretty much exactly as he is in real life, including the poetry and speaking to himself.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think he started off strong in wrestling. They put him right against The Undertaker. Next thing I knew, he was reciting poetry. And then I was like,
The funniest thing was I thought, okay, it's all part of the act. And then one day I was going past his room, and he was having a conversation with himself about what time we were going to meet for dinner.
Hmm.
And I began to realize it's actually not a character. It's he really is insane in the best way possible. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Right, okay, I've got pause now. That's cool.
Okay.
Use that as a slight, instead of a nice introduction, we just get, oh, fuck.
Hmm.
Welcome to the commentary for Enter the Fat Dragon.
I still
now pause? Understand why you asked me to clear several hours. Yeah.
So, are you both at the points? Are you both at the pause points, Stuart?
Yes.
So, 3, 2, 1, play. Not now. I'll do it.
I was just going to say, you're going to have to warn our audience first.
Oh, we didn't do an introduction, but fuck it.
Okay, so... Whenever you're ready.
Yep, I'm as ready as I've ever been.
So can I verify you are ready to give us a countdown and we will press play after your countdown, yes?
Absolutely.
Stuart, are you clear?
And amongst all this, hello and welcome to Commentary on Fire.
And I guess we're coming to a close because there's no end credits.
It's over!
The end!
Yay, now for a full day's work.
Well done, my friends. Well done. Did you record it, Stu?
Shit. Aye. Yep, from the looks of it, Power Grammo says we've been working away at it for an hour and 47 minutes. So
effective. Ever take God's worst mining down at us?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I think though, you know, we're going to do the Young and Dangerous, and we'll find that young Mr. Kenneth has now become addicted to the adventures of Ikin Cheng and Jordan Chan. And
you never know. That's the thing. You never know. And yeah. But I don't like the Jordan Chan's hair on the cover of this box set. It looks
and in
Mikey
future, ready. You'll be referring to everyone as Brother Chicken. It's yes. Like, yeah.
And trust me, I think by the end of the first movie, you'll be like me, where you spend the next 3 hours penning in a dragon tattoo. Because you're sitting there with a biro pen. Right, there we go.
I remember one time going to get a tattoo in Hong Kong, and there was a guy having one of those tattoos, like a full body one.
Mm-hmm.
And I got talking to him, and he was telling me he just comes in and gets like one scale done every day. Because it's so fucking painful. Yeah. Because I went in, I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, I've been having this being done for 6 months. Yeah. Come in, get one or two scales and be like, okay, I need to go home now. It's, yeah. But they are such good fun movies. I was actually, the other day I ran into Ung Chi Hong, and we were chatting about them, and they're just such good fun, those movies. They really loved, because Darren Shalavi was in town for the Ip Man 2, we were doing all the dubbing and the voiceover stuff, and we went out and caught up with like Ung Chi Hong and a whole bunch of other guys. So we were running around in the Young and Dangerous locations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly being old and not dangerous, but yeah, it was all good. Yeah, but no, it's all good stuff. So, how's everything with you, Young Master? Still, I hear you're renovating a cinema or something.
Yep, it's set to open next Friday, so we're basically hands on deck. When I finish my normal job, like at the library doing the 9 to 5 there, I then go to the cinema, then work 6 till 9.
Okay, so what's it going to be like, an art cinema or?
It's pretty much a part time cinema in the sense it's going to be open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but it's got to be showing a mixture of recent film, like the new films, the block, like Alice in Wonderland and all that shit. All that stuff's going to be getting screened. Like our opening weekend, we're actually doing a Scottish premiere of a Robert Carlyle movie. I Know You Know. So that's going to be the Scottish premiere. We're going to get the director and the producers coming in for it. They're going to be arriving with a marching band. Then it's going to be a champagne reception along with a ribbon cutting. Then there'll be a screening of the movie. Then there's going to be a director's like Q&A after it. And then,
oh, excellent.
Mm-hmm, the next day, there'll be two screenings of Race to Witch Mountain, then followed by two screenings of this I Know You Know, and then a midnight screening of The Terminator.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
So I think that's the way to go. If you just try and show classic movies, they'll go bankrupt. But if you can find the balance...
Yep.
Yeah, so, it's like... there's a cinema in Hong Kong called the Broadway Cinematheque, and it's like a very artistic, it's the best cinema in the world. Like, if Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sat in front of you with his afro from Game of Death, you'd still be able to see over the top of him. It's like, you're all, you know, stadium seating. And it's like a 6-screen cinema, and that's what they do. Like, 3 screens show the commercial stuff, 3 screens show all the arty films and short films and everything. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff. So yeah.
No,
Terminator. You weren't even born when Terminator came out, Stuart. Though that's what scares me.
I know. let's see. I'll send.
How
you
old some... are you?
Me, I'll be turning 25 this year.
Oh, you fucking kid!
I know. I know. I feel like I've not gotten into this genre soon enough. I wish I'd gotten into it sooner. But then realizing...
It's funny because for me, I was one of the last ones to get into it. Like, when I was younger, my friends would watch everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like Bruce Lee movies, Bruce Lee movies. And I would just take the piss out of it all. And then one afternoon, I got to watch, like, Snake and the Eagle Shadow and Drunken Master back to back. And suddenly I was like, okay, now I'm addicted to it. But, it's scary. I've just done my 20 years in Hong Kong now. It's crazy. So, yeah.
See, that's the part I find crazy, because I think nowadays it's going to be impossible just to pack up your shit here and then move across to Hong Kong and kind of survive.
Oh, no, I mean, it would be, because, I mean, I was lucky. I came when, as a British citizen, I immediately didn't need a work permit. I didn't need a visa and everything. I mean, and it scares me that I did that. When I actually think about it now, it's quite, I worry quite a bit that, fuck, I was like, 22 years old and I just decided to run away and come to Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, all for a crime I didn't commit. It's, yeah, it's, yeah. but like I said, it's, the funny thing for me, I think I was talking to Kenneth about it, was when I first arrived, I thought I'd be able to buy merchandise and everything everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I arrived in Hong Kong and was suddenly realizing there's no Shaw Brothers movies. You know, so many movies didn't exist out here. You couldn't buy anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, trying to explain to my mum, could you please send me all my videos and all my posters? Yeah, she was like, but you live there. Yes, I need them.
It's... yeah, no, it's not logical, but trust me, you need to send them.
Yeah. But no, mean, it's all good stuff, but, you know, but, like I said, I mean, there's still so much good, although the Avenging Fist, Stu, I mean, I
managed to watch it. Here we go.
I might have to again reevaluate. You never know. It's, mm-hmm. yeah. There are those movies that, you know, you still, years later go, it wasn't that bad, or it was so different.
There is plenty of scenes in that movie where it is pretty bad. Like the strange, was it the date rape drug that just, was it not called Earthquake or something, where they would just have a fit? But
now see, the funny thing for me is, Sam, when we were doing The Avenging Fist, we were meant to be doing Tekken mm-hmm. with Sammo, it's a separate project, and like me, Ruben Langdon and Sammo were having meetings with the Japanese company about doing Tekken, the official movie, mm-hmm. and then suddenly they called us up and were like, we see Sammo has done Tekken. And Sammo was like, I didn't know. Yeah, I just got the script for the days I was in. I didn't know the movie was a rip-off of Tekken, sorry. You know? It kind of like killed the entire deal, and we were like, oh, fuck. It's, you know. But that's the thing. See, this is why, Stuart, I can deal with you so much better, because you're like, you're admitting there's not every element in that movie is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I could only really, there's only parts of these movies I could actually really like and watch on a loop. And it's the scene where Yin Bu comes in to claim.
Oh, like, yeah, that is a fucking
And fucking Stephen Fung and Chin Karlock's trying to fight him, but they just get thrown away. That scene is badass.
Well, any scene where Stephen Fung gets thrown away, he gets my vote. I mean, it's.
Ooh.
That's the opening line of the commentary now.
That was Stuart speaking. Very nice.
Holy shit. Ken, you know the guy that just joined our forum, that is it Precision 25?
Mm-hmm.
He's just sent me like a big parcel of movies like via UPS.
Holy shit.
I've got like a tracking number and everything sent to me.
Wow.
I'm getting Shaolin Rescuers, Legendary Assassin, Fatal Contact, and Five Deadly Venoms for nothing.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Aye, the guy just joined the forum and he says, Stu, just like...
Take movies.
Aye, he's like, I've got an extra copy of Shaolin Rescuers. You want it? Like, never heard of it. But, aye, sure, why not?
I don't know, but that's... Like I said, sometimes that's the great thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I've so many times banged heads with girlfriends where I'm telling them I'm not buying any films and suddenly I get sent 50 screeners or something. And
yeah, I'm the same. You know, that associates
you go to meet your girlfriend and standing there with a huge box of videos going, no, these were free.
It wasn't
these
me.
Were given to you.
Just tell her it wasn't.
Honestly, spend the rent money on these DVDs, honey. It's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're there. How can they be there?
I don't know, but then occasionally I also get the days where I get sent a whole bunch of screeners or T-shirts or something. Like, I had Brian from Shelf Life sent me a whole bunch of T-shirts.
Yeah.
And they were nicked by the Jackie Chan stunt team within, like, 2 minutes. I picked it up and, like, ran into one guy and he was like, oh, come and have a drink. And all the stunt guys like, what are those? Oh, there's some T-shirts. Let's have a look.
Doesn't mind.
I went home with two T-shirts. It was like, you know. It's, you know, but there's, I mean, it's always good when you get those bundles of goodies. It's, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I have a good comp.
The Assassin isn't perfect, but it's enjoyable. And there's, I mean, Selena Jade's very good in it. And it's got so much potential. There's so many good ideas in there, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what we're going to do is get you to watch more IFD movies, sir.
Yeah.
You haven't experienced the true magic of mixing Taiwan melodrama with ninja scenes.
If you're going to make NF watch Young and Dangerous, you need to watch Robo Vampire, Robo Kickboxer, The Power of Justice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be at least stoned out my pus then. So.
Yeah.
Trust me, this would make a lot of sense. Then.
Yeah. Hopping vampires and robo vampires and mixed in with a Japanese movie. And you know what I love most, Mike? When you recognize the movie that they've chopped up. Look, there's Ken Cheng and Alex Mann.
I had that with Byron Mann, trying to explain to Byron Mann that we did a movie together. And he's like, when? I was like, a movie for IFD. And he'd shot his stuff like a year earlier than I shot mine. And it was just... this terrible German movie that fell apart, and basically Joseph Light had half a German movie and then just reshot, just basically went back into the vaults and took all the scenes with Westerners from all the other IFD movies and just intercut them. It makes even less sense than these, you know, cut and paste with Asian movies, but it's fantastic. It's called Royal Destiny. Absolutely terrible, but great fun. That's it.
Oh, that crazy dude. The dude must actually come from Florida.
That guy sent you stuff?
That sent me. I received it, Tampa, Florida, check-in, and it's like, you crazy son of a bitch, man. I thought you were for the United Kingdom or something. Oh, you didn't need to go out of his way that much.
That's a rare breed of fans that we have.
Yeah. I mean, that's why
I'm really glad to thank him on
Canada,
the show or something.
Yeah, is if you send stuff to people in Canada, they get taxed on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sent one guy a whole bunch of stuff in Canada, and he was like, thanks, Mike, I got taxed. It's like, yeah, because what's the UK? Do you get hit for import duty on stuff, or?
I don't think so. I think the only time where I've had to pay for something that I had sent to me was ordering Killzone when it first came out, and I had ordered that in like a Season of Cheers off of Amazon.com, and I had to actually go to the post office and pay for it, like to receive the parcel. Other than that, I've never been charged for anything sent to me.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because has SPL come out now in UK as Killzone through CineAsia?
I think it just has, because I've just finished reviewing the check discs. They're usually a couple weeks before like the film comes out. I'll usually get them sent to me.
I mean, it'd be good to see some of those films getting released. It's just... Fist of Legend finally.
I just sent those discs to Jim, so...
Because Karada from Fist of Legend will be in Hong Kong next week, so got to catch up with him. He's madman. 64 years old and can still beat the shit out of me. It's not. I mean, because what's the UK market like now? Good or?
It's getting better. Yep, CineAsia is really doing a good job, because they've got Raging Phoenix lined up for that's their next big release. So.
Gigi has so much fucking potential, and she is such a nice girl, but just they haven't served her properly in the movies yet, you know.
Yeah.
The films are just still showing about 10%, 20% of what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you probably don't feel so bad thinking that she looks hot in this movie. For looking at her and chuckling, it's like, she's hot, but man, it's weird thinking that this autistic chick's hot.
She's so fucking sweet when you meet her.
Yeah.
But she's just got a moustache. It's like, I'm very confused why no one at her film company seems to be able to tell her to bleach the little bit of hair she's got, because she's got like peach fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain shots, you can see it quite clearly. And it's like, but then the weird thing is the other girl that Simon goes, the girl from Born to Fight, the really beautiful Taekwondo girl, she is the one who has so much skill, and just Simon Gull doesn't know what to do with it. Yeah. It's like, you know, Gigi is incredibly cute and sweet, and Ketsarin is just incredibly sexy. Yeah. And just far too sweet, far too nice. Yeah. Yeah. But, because, I mean, it's good with CineAsia, because I've got to talk to them about Ip Man 2 to see if they want some extras. Because the problem is they don't seem to be wanting to do anything UK exclusive, which is a pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, pretty much all their DVDs have either been everything from the, you know, from the Hong Kong release, or I guess with the Dragon Dynasty stuff, they'll just do straight transfers. Yeah.
It's a good thing they're doing movies like Beaststalker, because no one is taking a chance on movies like Beaststalker, especially not the UK. So I'm kind of glad they're doing that.
I mean, Beaststalker just needs to be marketed the right way. It's one of those films that. It just needs someone to market the right way. I mean, because it's such a good movie, but it's just such a hard sell to people, because there's no one in it who's really... I mean, how is it being sold in England? Like, from the stars of Dragon and Tiger Gate or something? It's like,
Yeah, it's pretty much along the lines of that. Well,
I think Nick is on the cover. So.
What is that? There you go. I'd be like, from the stars of Dragon, Tiger Gate and Rush Hour 3. Yeah, because Jung Jin chooses the female lead. I mean, it's like... Yeah. You'll watch Beaststalker and realize, wow, Jung Jin Choo really can act.
I just started Night and Fog. I'm going to review that. She's in that as well.
Oh, she is fucking incredibly talented and incredibly sweet and just far too nice. And it's, yeah. But she's fucking great. She's phenomenal. Her Fan Bingbing and Li Bingbing are great. Yeah, there's a lot of really good, strong Chinese actresses coming out. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So Stu, have you seen Bodyguards and Assassins?
Not yet. Nope.
Okay.
But I've just looked up the Beast Stalker artwork, and it's just one of the covers that's got quotes from reviews, not one mention of any other movie. So.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because sometimes that's good, sometimes that's bad. I think me and Kenneth talked about that. Like, it's very easy as a diehard fan to complain when they say, oh, from the action director of The Matrix. But you know, from a marketing point of view, you go, but that's what Joe Public needs to hear. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. But how's Mr. Banner doing in Korea?
I think, Ken, you spoke with him more than me. Last time I heard from him, he was needing a charger for his laptop, and I had, like, contact his parents.
Well, he's not started properly at his teaching job. It's being sort of formed. But he's been active. Stuff is happening, and he's got his apartment done, and they're traveling and meeting Choi Hawk on the streets. Yep.
Well, sometimes that is what is so great when you're in Asia, that things like that happen. I mean, when we were in Korea for Rush Hour for the casting, we bumped into Shuke, because one of the stunt guys I know called me up and said, oh, we're filming at this location tonight for My Wife is a Gangster, come and visit. And we got to the location, and there was Shuke all happy that there was somebody who could speak Chinese to her. Yeah. It's, yeah. But no, because where is he in Korea? Where is Mike in Korea?
Pohang or Pohnang? Pohang, I think. Mm-hmm. Or Panang or something.
Oh, shit, that's right on the border.
I can see you, Kim Jong-un.
Wow, he flew into Incheon. That's a fucking mad flight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, good luck. I mean, he'll open his eyes to a lot of things. Yeah.
Hopefully not
just
the prostitutes.
There's a million prostitutes in that city.
He'll be like a giddy kid. Look at those. There's a prostitute. Look at them.
The funny thing is, Asian society, it's such a common thing. It can be very worrying. Because, you know, like, you've been in a situation where people will be like, oh, Stuart and Ken, you're my guests. I must take you out for prostitutes now. And you're in that terrible situation going, if I refuse, are they going to get pissed off?
Lose face. You make me lose face. Why not?
Oh, go out drinking with Casanova Wong, and he'll try and cut your face off if you upset him. Yeah. So yeah, he'll try and get you shit faced first, and then he'll be like, oh, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. Yeah, but he's good. I've got to get back over to Korea. I haven't been over for 2 years, so I've got to head over and see everyone. And I'm going to go back and interview Wong Jun Lee for myself this time.
Because they're not releasing that interview material.
Well, the current word I've heard is the tapes have got lost.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody sent them to... They were sent to Soul... They were licensed to Soul Blade. And then the Soul Blade guys sent them to somewhere else, and they've disappeared. So I'm like, I fucking give up. I mean, that was... To this day, that's the interview that I fucking kicked myself in the face about, because it was just, you need to go to Korea next week, and you need to send the tapes as soon as you finish the interview, because it's such a rush to get it ready for the, you know, Snake and Eagle Shadow Drunken Master Platinum Edition. And it was like, okay, I don't even have time to make a copy in Seoul. I had to send them from Wong Jun Lee's hometown, and then it's like, yeah, oh, they disappeared. Yeah, oh, we're going to release it soon. Can I get a transcript? Can I get a copy? Oh, we'll sort it out. Oh, we're not releasing anymore. We're going to send it. You know, then Soul Blade, Mike, we have the interview. Can you send me a copy? Yeah, we'll send you a copy. Nothing happens. It's, yeah.
Wow.
And just every so often, Wong Jun Lee is like, Mike, interview. I'm like, sorry. Yeah. Because wow. We covered, and the worst thing is we covered everything. Him killing, you know, him accidentally killing someone, his career in Hong Kong, his stuff in Korea, training, everything, and it was just so fucking frustrating. I mean, that's why I got so pissed off with Dragon Dynasty when they just basically started releasing without any interviews, without any of the stuff. I think too many of the companies, they just don't keep track of what they've got. I mean, you know, for Five Venoms, we had interviews with pretty much everyone,
yeah.
And they didn't use anything. And bits of those interviews turn up on other discs, so it's not like they were unusable. I mean, the Quok Choi interview that's on Hard Boiled, we covered everything else from Shaw Brothers that day. We did a really long day of interviews.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's just so frustrating. I mean, Five Deadly Venoms, they just dumped on the fucking market. It's, you know, very, very annoying. So, yeah. Because, yeah. Kenneth, what's the market like where you are? I mean, is much released now, or is it a dead market, or...
It's better, but still pretty poor. It's gone from non-existent to, a bit more existing. Especially since Korean movies broke through, they started to bring in a little bit more Hong Kong. But it's very sparse, to be honest. Because there's never been a market at any time, really. Everyone knew of Bruce Lee and stuff like that, but it never established itself. You know. At a core or something like that, it's never been like that. I think more America, obviously more American movies and stuff like that has latched onto the market rather than Asian movies. I guess the stuff of Wong Kar Wai, which I'm not a fan of, is because it gets re-released in cinemas nowadays.
Oh, so it's become the trendy film to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. But that pisses me off slightly because they are re-releasing movies that I'm not keen to watch, but I would like to see them re-release the original cut of Ashes of Time, which is not going to happen now. You know, because that's the sole Wong Kar Wai movie I love, the original Ashes of Time.
Oh yeah, I didn't like the recut. That was, I couldn't make out why they'd done a recut of it. Yeah,
it looked really poor. To be honest, and I have no desire.
Anything good back in there? Yeah, it's there's so much stuff. I mean, if they'd said, okay, we're doing the recap and we're going to put back all the stuff with Joey Wong, or all the stuff with Lan Ching Ha that was cut, fine. But yep. When it's just, we just changed the order of a few scenes. Yeah, it's stupid. So yeah.
Speaking of, by the way, of Wang Jiangli, I have a great contact in Germany who does DVDs, and I just got the Hitman in the Hand of Buddha DVD that I did.
Oh, that's a fucking classic.
It's the German cinema print, which means it's only 72 minutes long, but for these movies, that's not necessarily the worst thing, because they were quite apt at that time at cutting out annoying stuff. So it's a newly, basically untouched print. So it looks glorious. And it's the German print, but they include like the full screen, uncut one, if you want to suffer through all the comedy.
Okay, which company is that? Because I contacted one of those German companies offering them, like, I'd love to get in touch with them about extras and interviews and stuff, and never seem to hear back from any of them. Yeah.
In this case, it's Megamax. At one time it was New Entertainment World, but this is released by Megamax Movies.
Okay.
And they have a website, I'm sure, megamaxmovies.de or .com.
Okay.
But okay. It's quite cool. They did like Off Cooks and Kung Fu, they did Buddha Assassinator, and even though they're short in German prints, I've seen that being quite an advantage. Because it's not...
Sometimes, I mean, that's the thing. Sometimes the shorter prints work. I mean, I always got murdered for it, but if you look at the Chinese print of First Strike with Jackie Chan and the American print actually works.
Right.
It's faster paced, a few scenes were rearranged, it makes sense. You know, the only thing that doesn't is the English dub refers to a character as Chewy instead of Choi. Sometimes that basically, you'll see different footage in different prints. I mean, sometimes that, I said, like the English dub can include stuff that's missing from the other versions. So yeah.
Yep.
I think so. Mr. Stu, what have you been watching recently, sir?
I sat up last night and watched Sinking of Japan, which was released 4 years ago under the title of Japan Sinks, or Sinking Japan.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know that one. Yeah.
It was all right. Mainly because I got a second email saying, remember, movie's out on Monday. It's like, okay, I guess you want your review. So I sat, watched it, and then reviewed it and put it on the website this morning.
Yeah, that's a good review.
Seemed
fair.
It was. I have to say, the later half of the movie does pick up. So, but for the first half,
some of the Japanese ones are just crazy. As like, if you ever get to see All My House Collapses or All My Zombie Mermaid, whatever they called it in the end, like that is just the. When we were shooting it, it was mad fun because there were Japanese porn stars on set. But it was just such a bizarre movie to be involved in from day one. I just, you know, I ask anyone to make sense of the plot and then please send me a letter explaining it to me. You know, the pacing is all over the place. You're not sure if it's meant to be a comedy, if it's meant to be serious, you know.
Aye, but so, other than that, I've just been catching up because I got quite a lot of review DVDs sent to me, and but then, well, I ended up being sick with a cold, so it gave me time to sit and watch them. So I'd watched Kamikaze Girls, Killzone, The Shinjuku Incident, and Thirst.
Oh, okay. What do you think of Shinjuku?
I actually quite liked it. It comes, like, it, obviously, it's been advertised to us as a Jackie Chan movie, but in all honesty, it's a triad movie.
Exactly, yeah. But also because where they were, Derek Yee was very clever. When they were shooting the movie, he let Jackie film as much action as he wanted. Mm-hmm. And then when they were editing, he cut all the action out. Because I think he realised if he argued with Jackie on the set about action, he'd have the same problem everyone else has where Jackie decides to take over. Mm-hmm. So he just let Jackie spend time shooting action, and then they just cut it all back.
Right.
So, yeah. My only problem with that movie is just when Daniel Wu turns into the Joker.
Yeah, it's a little bit over the top. Like, even if they just, like, got rid of that wig he had, he'd be fine.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's just,
Like, sure, you look like some weird S&M guy now, but still, like, the hair. I'm glad it turned out to be a wig, at least.
Oh, no, exactly. That would have been the worrying thing if they'd been like, no, that's his real hair now. It's, But it's all good fun.
Yeah,
And Chin. But no, I mean, it's just, it's definitely up for doing a Young and Dangerous commentary with you guys. That'd be good fun. Mm-hmm. Plenty of stories from behind there about. And also, we can touch on a lot of stuff about, like, the reality of the triads and everything and all that. Like, the fact that, you know, Hong Kong is the place where the gods and the triads, but the police and the triads both, you know, pray to the same god. Yeah, it's just always good fun. So, yeah. So, are you trying to do the whole series, including the offshoots, or is it going to be just a Young and Dangerous commentary?
I'm up for doing the trilogy, at least, too. So...
Sure, because, well, that is... Well, those three films are connected, and the rest are just, let's see what the guys are up to now type films.
Exactly, I was thinking, are we going to end up doing, those were the days. Yeah, that's all of those bizarre ones that just, like, went all over the place. I mean, because it just literally became... There's so many offshoots, bizarre, slight connections in there.
It was really just the same as, like, the Once Upon a Time in a Triad Society. It's that character, but it's sort of in a different universe.
Oh, no, it's like the No Retreat, No Surrender or Karate Tiger thing of just like, okay, it's a generic title, how to market those movies, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, some of those are great. I mean, some of them are just utterly insane. I mean, like, say, like Goodbye, Mr. Cool originally came out as Young and Dangerous 7 in most countries.
I'd foolishly enough bought a Young and Dangerous box set off eBay, and that came as part of it, and when you got it, it was like a big box, and you opened up, and then it was the discs and slipcases. And it was like,
exclusive limited edition gold plated.
But this is probably like, after just seeing the first movie, well, this was like really early on, so that was when I was like, when I got DVDs, and I wasn't sure if they were bootlegs or not, and then years later, I was like, man, how could I not tell that was fake?
The scary thing is sometimes you can't tell. I mean, like, the thing in China is sometimes you're literally going, this could be a bootleg from a legitimate source, you know, because nobody seems to know sometimes. I mean, like, True Legend and everything come out on DVD the day they're released at the cinema, you know, just to try and kill the pirates. And it's, and sometimes the pirates do even better covers. and one of the things I do love is, you can get those box sets that are just impossible to get in real life. Like, I just picked up a Jackie Chan box set of every Jackie Chan movie ever made. And pirates have taken the best prints of every movie. Like, they've taken the French remastered Blu-ray movies and given them proper English subtitle things and everything.
Yeah, I heard that.
The pirate copy of The Bodyguard for China, we just took the subtitle track out and they're using it as our subtitle track for the official Chinese release because the subtitles were done so well. It's like, sometimes you just sit there and go, oh, fuck it all. And the worst thing is, I mean, I was saying that some films won't make an official DVD.
Yeah.
There's, like, Co-Web with Sam Lee and everyone, and Chung Lee Sha still has not even been released in Hong Kong. Yeah. It's, you know, because Andy Taylor from it was here, and he was like, where did you get the DVD? And I was like, China. You can't buy it in Hong Kong. It's never even got a Hong Kong release. It's, you know. Mm-hmm.
Is that
and that's where LaserDisc is still the future, sir.
I was still right in saying...
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that Claustrophobia still hasn't came out yet?
Not yet.
Ah, that's so weird.
Yeah, you have star power, for fuck's sake.
No, but that's the thing, that certain movies just... Even Western movies, sometimes there's just bizarre timing, like... Last week, Neil Marshall's The Descent from, like, 2005 came out of the cinema.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, and I'm like, okay, maybe they're going to release the sequel straight after.
Yeah.
I know the sequel's gone straight to DVD. But it's like, there's, you know, you never know with Hong Kong or, you know, some releases are just bizarre. I mean, like, the Australian guys who were releasing Ant-Man 2 in, you know, causing so much trouble for Mandarin Films. Because they keep releasing all the photographs on the internet that give away the entire fucking movie. Like, if you go to YouTube, someone has assembled all the photographs in order for Ant-Man 2. Basically pointing out all the plot points. Oh, look, this is someone's funeral. Oh, look, this has happened.
Stupid.
And then Mandarin Films are telling me, oh, we can't give you those photographs, mate, because they haven't been released yet. It's like, they're all over the fucking internet. Yeah.
All right.
Claustrophobia's
got a DVD release at the end of May, from the looks of it, on Yes Asia.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Her latest movie should be out by that point, you know, the Crossing Hennessy movie. Mm-hmm. Ivy did. Should be out in cinemas.
Oh, Crossing Hennessy's out already, sir. Yeah.
It is? Okay.
Yeah,
it'll be out on DVD in a week.
Probably about a bit longer because it's Edco, so it won't be released so quickly.
Ah, okay, yeah. So it'll be a professional DVD at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so that's good fun with Dung Wai. I mean, Dung Wai is great fun. She's such a nice lady. And it's bizarre. Suddenly, for the first time in about 5 years, Jackie Cheung is not only up on the big screen but in two movies at the same time.
Exactly.
No, three movies actually. Heat of the Summer, 72 Tenants, and Crossing Hennessy. Yeah.
Speaking of someone who has grown into his looks.
Oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. And someone who, if you're ever going to interview, don't let him bring his own makeup person, because Hong Kong Legends let him, and he brought a makeup person who charged £5,000 for one day.
Oh.
Oh, you want to interview me? I need to bring my own makeup guy.
Huh.
And he did, and charged us a fortune. So yeah.
Well,
but no, I mean, there's some good stuff coming up and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Ip Man 2 really does deliver. And yes, you should watch Ip Man, Young Master Kenneth. It is actually,
well, eventually I will.
It's really good.
It's Herman Yao's Ip Man. Go ahead.
It's probably done his best movie as an actor as well. He doesn't pout and pose too much in it. Yeah.
Is Herman Yao's Ip Man covering a completely different side of the story? Does anyone know that?
What
is it the same story as the first, or...?
What, Young Ip Man?
It's Young Ip Man in Herman Yao. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's when he's actually Ip Boy. It's Ip Man.
Yeah,
the stupid thing is, all the crew, I got given one of the crew t-shirts, and it's it says IP before man.
That's great.
And it's just one of the things right there. Okay. Yeah, and yeah, pretty much the entire cast from Ip Man 1 and 2 is in Young Ip Man. You know, Sammo, Fancy Wong, Yun Bu, everyone's there. It's, yeah.
Wonder if Sammo is playing the same character, even.
Or pretty maybe much. I mean, Sammo often seems to do stuff and claim he didn't realize, but I always think he knew. He just thinks it's funny. Because I was asking him, I was like, so you finished Ip Man 2 and then you went to do Young Ip Man? Yeah. Yeah, like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, but it should be good. It should be good fun. I mean, and as I said, they've really brought Ip Man 2 forward by like 4 months. I mean, originally it was meant to be end of August and now it's end of April.
Wow.
Which is why we had to do the post so quickly. So it's, yeah.
Are you done by now, then?
Sorry?
Are you done by now, then? Are you wrapped?
Yeah, all finally finished. And there's a lot of stuff that I hope will end up on the DVD. A couple of fight scenes that didn't make it into the movie that are really, really good. Like Darren Shalavi has a one extra fight scene, which is a really good scene that didn't make it. Darren's probably got the best role for a Westerner since Brad Allen in Gorgeous.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really good role for him and everything. And then Sammo's stuff is great fun. Yeah, it's pretty epic. Mm. Yeah, it's much better than 14 Blades. Yeah.
I think I read that Tony Leung did action for Young Ip Man. I might be wrong. Oh, was it Sammo and Tony? Okay.
Tony Leung, that's why Tony Leung didn't do Ip Man 2. He went off to do Young Ip Man. So it was very strange. He couldn't work on Ip Man 2 because he was prepping Young Ip Man.
Yeah. So, turning into a beast now.
Oh, no, I mean, it's just that weird thing of sometimes everyone's jumping from movie to movie to movie, and it seems to be getting like that again, which is nice. Yeah. It's all very good mad fun. So, yeah.
Well, good on your mic, by the way, to be very serious, to stay a movie fan despite working so heavily in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I said, I can't handle the wankers who claim that now they're in the industry, they have to either bullshit that they're having relationships with everyone in the industry or just slag it all off and that. I came to Hong Kong because I love the movies, and being a fan is actually probably what helped me start getting work in the industry, because people realized, well, this guy actually is enthusiastic and he's ready to do stuff. I'm honest, I fucking get a buzz still. I mean, it's like last week it was, yeah, I'm on set watching Sammo beat up Lo Wei Gong. That's, yeah, while at a seafood restaurant, what better way is there to spend a Saturday and a Sunday? You know? And then have the Japanese crew wanting to find out where I got the t-shirt and giving him shelf life information, you know.
Good.
No, I mean, it's great. I mean, like I said, the other week we were shooting the first commercial, and I said, like, I went off and bought some laser discs, and we were filming at one location. There was like a secondhand shop 2 doors down, and I came back out with a whole bunch of laser discs and VHS and VCDs. And like, Fan Bing Bing was making fun of me for having so much old stuff. And the Japanese director was suddenly very enthusiastic because I had, like, Japanese movies on Laserdisc. You know, it's... I'll still be a fan. I mean, it's like... okay, Kung Fu Cinema. The other week, somebody posted a thing about Bodyguard and was slagging it off, but in a, like, a... Oh, well, you know, I don't want to say bad things about it, you know, because I know Mike comes on the forum, but, oh, it's not to my style, it's not this. And I just think, you know, responded and said, well, sorry, you didn't like it. You know, it was a great experience to work on, blah, blah, blah. And the guy sent me a private message saying he wanted me to have he was upset that I didn't get into a slanging match with him.
What the hell?
He was hoping I'd be like, fuck you, you don't understand movie making. But I was like, okay, I know you didn't like it. You know what? There's a lot of stuff I'd like to change on it, including our main fucking actor. It's, you know.
I mean, it's kind of that people assume that's the way the forum rules go, that it's a slagging match. But, you know, I didn't particularly like the Bodyguard, but I liked Underground much more. But why would I be afraid to share my views? Even if I disliked it with a vengeance, which I did.
Trust me. Same thing. I won't sit there and go, no. How can anyone question this thing? I think it's, like I said, people are expecting you to immediately be like, no, you have to like it. It's like we said, you know, you like one movie, Stu likes another movie, I like a different movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily mean any of us is 100% right. Yeah.
And this is adults talking, supposedly adults. It's not like you're that's 12-year-olds that are expecting a slugging match on the internet. It's adults, but you wonder how grown they really are.
Oh, no, exactly. I mean, that's what is just very frustrating when everyone has that aspect of, I like this movie and you didn't like it, so thus you're an idiot. Or, you know, like we said, you can watch... Yeah, you watch an actor in one movie, you love him. You watch him in another movie, you fucking hate him. It's, you know, we've all got music we listen to, and occasionally a band we love will bring out a song that we're fucking afraid to admit we liked or whatever. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Or other times there's those singers where you go, okay, I really hate that fucking singer, but that's a really good song. It's, yeah. You know. But no, so what else, what is coming up for you, young master Kenneth? You're going to have a nice Sunday of relaxation?
Helping mom a little bit after this, then continuing to review Night and Fog, updating the site, and pretty much that will be the day, I guess. I don't need to fill it with much more. I've done all my other work, the mini reviews and stuff. Went through all the laser discs I bought. Watched this Jin Pin Mei. I think you said that you knew this actress Cindy Yip, who was in a lot of Casual Free stuff. She's in Jin Pin Mei, and they made, like, in 1986, they made like seven or eight Jin Pin Mei movies. You know, the novel it's based on is the same material as in The Forbidden Legend, Sex and Chopsticks. It's the same, based on the same material.
Yeah, I miss that girl. She's a good girl.
She's apparently in it. I don't remember, to be honest, because the movie wasn't that good. But I was surprised that, fuck me, they did 8 movies, not TV movies, 8 movies in the same year on the same story.
No, that's the thing. Certain stuff sometimes, when it's like I said, like at the moment, anything with Ip Man attached to it, yeah, people will go for.
Yeah.
Like if you said you wanted to make Young and Dangerous with Ip Man, people would suddenly want to give you funding.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, I keep saying, it's like Joseph Lai with the ninja stuff. When he was like, "Oh, we're in full production. It's ninja, ninja, ninja." It's, you know, it's, yeah. And back in '96, it was still when the industry was just fucking cranking out stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the ton. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why
if you look at like Pauline Chan's filmography, she made so many movies in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why it's all fun for me to shop for VCDs or Laserdiscs or even DVDs of movies from a particular period. Let's say, just for the sake of argument, 88 to 96. Whatever the movie was, especially if I didn't know the movie, I'll buy it. This movie is called Angry Cop and Wild Woman. I'll give that a go.
I mean, there you go. Exactly.
I don't know anything about it. I'll give that a go.
Oh, no, I mean, that's like... I'm still like that. When I went in the shop, it was like, pick up a whole bunch of Laserdiscs, and I was just like, oh, fucking hell. Yes, you know, and also they were like €1 each. So I was like...
Well okay. Having said all that, I wouldn't want to collect all these when they were first released, because the price tags, if that was true, on the Hong Kong covers, like 700 or 800 Hong Kong dollars. No way.
Oh, no, that was the thing. When I first came to Hong Kong, that was another thing that killed me, was there was no collector's market. Yeah, it was... If you wanted to buy a Laserdisc, it was $750.
Fuck.
And if it was a 2LD set, it was $750 a disc. yeah, because like, you know how so many movies are on like 2LDs? You know,
big stars and known movies.
Each side, yeah. It was terrible. I mean, and then it was only when VCD came that people started collecting. You know. And that's why you can still buy Laserdiscs here for so cheap. It's just, you know, because people just can't understand why would you want Laserdiscs, and I'm still like, they're fucking great.
Yeah. You know?
It's, you know, I mean, I've still got far too many, and I still have some that I've probably, like, never watched and never will, but sometimes I'm just like, it's a cool cover. I need it.
€1 would, you know, it's not a great investment.
I'd spent €25. I had, like, I think 15 laser discs, 5 VHS, and about 20 VCDs. You know? And I was like, that's cool.
That is Christmas. That is fucking Christmas.
Exactly. And I said it was great because, like, you know, the actress is asking me, like, you have a VHS? Like, what the fuck?
It's this plastic rectangular box you're holding.
Yeah, the director was laser disc. You still have laser discs? But it's like we said, sometimes it's a case of, you know, €1 for a laser disc as opposed to €15 DVD.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I said, you know, young sirs, I'm going to have to cut and run because I've got to try and get a bit of work done.
Just ready to go as well. But I'm thinking, from all the chatting what we've just done, we could easily get away with a decent deleted conversation, like a mini episode along with the commentary.
Yeah. We'll promise to cut out cut out Mike.
We could cut out the bits if you want.
Great. We'll dub in a new voice.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, cut a bit because I still have to work in the industry.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I said there's stuff that I won't talk about just because there's too much of the fucking lunacy that can still go on. And like I said, I mean, Ip Man 2, it fucking rocks. I'll give it that from already. It really delivers, and the stuff that's in it is gonna live up to. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it does because True Legend hasn't done as well as everyone was expecting. Because I said the Chinese New Year, the two comedies really ran the cinemas. Like the All's Well That Ends Well and the 72 Tenants cleaned up at the box office.
Yeah.
And they're fun, and they're what actually Hong Kong wanted, like two really Hong Kong comedies. So yeah. So but no worries. Well, I said it was a pleasure, young sirs.
Yeah, thank you for doing it, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
No worries. And I said we'll definitely have to do the Young and Dangerous entire series, including offshoots.
Yeah,
I'm up for that.
I can just imagine Kenneth getting into the legendary Daifei. It's like, yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be really shit, therefore I'll embrace it with all my heart.
Well, you probably like B Chan's fucking terrible Leon the Professional movie with, like, Anthony Wong and Josie Ho, right? The
Professional, but yeah, I think it was called
that. Which I think, seem to remember, the Hong Kong box office was like £12. It was pretty... It's like, I remember when Chingalok's The Green Hornet came out, we all went and saw it. And at the time, City Entertainment used to publish the cinema takings.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like realizing that 85% of the takings it took were from about 30 of us going to see it together.
Oh.
It was one of the things where you're like, wow, that movie made £400. It was like, that was us. Yeah. But no worries. I said, have a good weekend. Keep up the cinema renovation, young sir.
Yep. Yeah. I'll wait to do my 11 till 5 just now. So.
So what are you doing today? You getting the ice cream tray ready? Or
I've been swinging off a scaffolding at 30 feet for the past couple of fortnights, but all the paint up there is done now. So.
You've been trying to redo Savior of the Soul in there, haven't you?
It was once upon a time in China. Just there's no enough ladders.
Excellent.
After the first fall, I realised, they used wires for a reason.
Exactly. I always tell them, climb to the top of that building and jump off. Then you will understand why wires and mats are used. If you look at Shanghai Express, they fucking dug a hole for Yunbiu and put mattresses in it, which is why he lands on. Yeah. Even Yunbiu's not like, I want to jump 50 feet off a building and just do a flip when I land. It's, it's crazy. But listen, no worries, guys. A pleasure, and I will speak to you both soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Take it easy, man. Bye. Thanks. Bye.